Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
Fucking oi, how are ya? It's Aidan Jones. You're listening to Sitting Under a Tree for Tuesday, the 5th of March, 2024. Oh, brother. Straight back into it, man. Straight back into the game, right, dog? Do you guys ever play Grand Theft Auto San Andreas? The cutscene at the start when CJ gets out of jail and it's like the first thing he has to do is ride a BMX bike. Fuck, those games are so dope, man. He gets out of jail and then his fat mate, I can't remember the guy's name. He's a fucking fat guy. They get on a bike and then they're like chasing someone or fucking shooting someone. And he's just his fat friend at one point just goes, straight back into the game, right, dog? It's one of the great, great things that I remember. I don't know what it is, but it's cool. I think about it constantly. I think about it quite a bit. I remember my friends and I, when we used to play when we were kids, that was you start the game. So like, I guess just when we used to always start the game and start a new save file and see what we could do or whatever. And it's just, that was one of the first cutscenes. And it's like a good memorable piece of dialogue. Why am I still talking about it? Because I just got back from the Gold Coast is why. And fuck, man, I flew in. It's Monday night now. I flew in on Sunday morning. And just like made a list of shit to do. Crushed it. Crushed my list of shit. I played piano for a couple hours. Practiced. Really nice. I cooked two meals of my meal kits, like one to eat yesterday and then one to take today because I was working, doing a tour. Then what else did I do? I did some other shit. I had a shower, shaved my head. I started watching this show, The Bear, that my friend recommended me. It's dope. I watched two episodes. I'm into it. I want to keep watching it. I finished my second read through of Good Material. I fucking read it again, dude. I read it again. Wait, I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause because I want to read a little bit of it in a sec. Man, how sick is it that I've discovered that I can pause the podcast? Isn't that an exciting new element to add 6 years in? To realize that when you leave the microphone and go and get something, the people listening, they don't have to experience that. Wait, they can just come straight back in. Oh man, we're always learning and we're growing and we're changing towards the future. ANZ. Fuck yeah. Yeah, man. I've not stopped. I went yesterday, so I got in the morning, did all my stuff, and then left home at 8:30 and went and slept at the depot for my tour today. So as much as I've got home yesterday, I actually still haven't fucking slept in my house yet. I'm go, go, go. It's all systems go. Thought of a couple bits for the show today while I was on tour. Man, I love driving the bus because it allows me time to just think about bits. Oh my God, this this guy. I had a trainee on the tour today. Nice dude. He's been working for a rival company for a while and he just started with us. Just like slightly odd, you know? And I mean, who isn't? We're all weird, but you know, let me bitch about this guy for a second. He was just a little bit dull. I don't know, man. I just thought, you know, we didn't click. We did not click. But lovely fella. But at some point in the day, you sell helicopter rides to the people and you get a $10 kickback from the helicopter people per person. So I got two people on the helicopters, so I got $20 and they give it to you in cash. They just palm it, you know, right there. And it's like a weird drug deal. It's like they give it to you. Actually, today he didn't give it to me like a drug deal. Today he fucking... Because it's like, you know, you go to this little shed and there's three helicopters out the back of it where they like land and take off. And in the little, it's not a shed, I don't know. It's a nice building, but it's just like a standalone building with like, you know, a bit of velvet rope to form them into a queue, and then three tills, and they go up, and there's little things in the floor that they stand on to weigh them so that they're the right weight for the helicopter to distribute the weight across the thing or whatever. And they pay their money into the till, and then I stand there because I don't get my money until the people that I brought get on the helicopter, just in case they have last minute second thoughts and bail out. But then once they're on the helicopter, the flyboys, they're all pilots. All the guys who work there, they're also pilots. There's not like one, point of sale person who's not a pilot. All these guys have got the fucking white shirt with the thing with the stripe thingy on the shoulder. It's pretty sick. And they're all my friends now. I'm friends with fucking five pilots. None of them are my friends. One of them's really nice. We've spoken a little bit. The rest of them are just like, whatever. Anyway. But when you get your money, they go like, oh, come around a little bit around the side so that we can like give it to you in a kind of, what's the word? What's the name of that rap group from the 2000s in Australia? Oh, God. Oh, this is going to kill me. Fuck. This is a moment where I should pause the podcast. And in fact, I will. How many pauses can I get in? Clandestine. It's Clandestine. Clandestine was the name of the rap group, and Clandestine is the name of the word that I was thinking of. And Clandestine means kept secret or done secretively, especially because illicit, naughty, naughty, or surreptitious, kept secret, especially because it would not be approved of. Oh, that's a cool little distinction, isn't it? Clandestine is when something is illegal. Surreptitious is just when it's like a bit au fait. What the fuck does that mean? Au fait. Au fait means by the way, apropos. What does to be au fait mean? To be au fait is to be up to date. And we're like, okay, I just completely misused that one. Fuck. When something's surreptitious, it's not illegal. It's just a bit naughty, naughty. It's a bit like, oh, don't do that in public. So when they give me the money, they're being surreptitious. They're not being clandestine. Interesting distinction. We're talking about language. So anyway, they normally palm it to me off to the side of the counter. But today, my man pulled the $20 note out and fucking gave it a little like, you know, like snapped it, made it all straight, and then like gave it a couple flicks. Like he really made a big old show of it. I was like, are you a fucking magician, cunt? Are you about to ask me for my phone number? And he gave it to me, and here's what happened. I put it in my pocket, in my left pocket, which is where I normally keep my wallet. I just put the thing loose because I don't have my wallet in there because my wallet's in my bag, because who needs a fucking wallet these days? It's 2024. Get with the program. And then I put the keys for the bus in my left pocket as well, and they're big keys. There's like a big key, and then there's two door keys, and then there's two little plastic holder things that have debit cards in them to pay for petrol for different service station brands. Whatever, it's like a big chunk of keys, you know? There's a carabiner in there. It's a whole mess of different stuff. And that's in the same pocket as the $20 note. And then I walk back to the bus. I'm in a bit of a rush because time's tight, especially in that part of the day. And then I pull the keys out of my pocket and I unlock the bus. And then I walk around the other side. And then I'm going to put the note into my wallet that's in my bag. And I put my hand in my pocket and the note's gone. And then I go and look around and it's super windy because it's the 12 apostles and the note's just fucking gone. So I just dropped $20 on the floor. And this guy, finally back to the thing that I was talking about, this fucking guy I was with, because when I first lost it, I was annoyed. I was like, fucking God damn it. And I was like looking around trying to find if it might have blown somewhere to no avail. And he was very kind and looked with me. And then we got driving again and I was getting over it. But he kept going, man, I feel so sorry for you. Which is just like, fucking all right, cunt. Like, I didn't get diagnosed with fucking HIV. I lost $20 on the floor. It just annoyed me. I was like, don't fucking look down at me. Don't pity me because I dropped $20 on the floor. Big fucking whoop, man. If anything, it made me, you know, want to get over it. Maybe want to care less because I just, I don't know. This guy kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Not, I don't know, man. There was just something about him. I was just like, you fucking, I don't know. After a while, I just stopped talking to him. I was like, hey, man, sorry. I don't know if, at the start of the day, I was like, I don't know if I'm in the best mood. And I was just like, I don't know, man. I'm not having the best convos with this guy. As nice as he was, you know. But, yeah, he kept coming. And he wasn't that bad. He was all right. Like, I talked to him a little bit. But yeah, he kept going. I feel so sorry for you. Is that the most dramatic shit you ever heard? And then I forgot about it and I had a great day. Like, I mean, that happened at like 11 or something, 11:30 or whatever. And then at the end of the day, oh, he brought it up like two or three more times. Like that's right. Someone gave me a tip. And by the way, I'm not telling the rest of the customers that I get a kickback for taking them to the helicopters because that's a bit au fait. A bit of a faux pas, I think, is what I'm confusing au fait with. Yeah, I don't want them to know that. It's just, it's, you know, it's unseemly. So he goes, oh, when I get the tip, I'm like, oh, sick. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's to make up for the other 20 that you lost. Keep in mind, this is fucking like 7 hours later. A lifetime. I've completely forgotten about it. I've had a lovely day not talking to him and fucking thinking about bits and listening to music and driving the bus. And then later than that, I asked him to check if I'd got any reviews from the customers because you get $10 per review and I'd got 2 reviews and he goes, oh, that'll make up for the $20 that you lost. And then he said it again. He was just like, man, I still feel so sorry for you. It's like, can't I feel sorry for you for being a fucking boring fuck. Fucking hell. I really don't like being pitied, hey. Anyway. Oh, man. So, yeah, that was today. Did that. Reread the book, man. I just straight up read it again. I mean, I was in the Gold Coast, so I didn't have another book to read, but I wouldn't have reread it if it wasn't just wonderful, like I said last week. And I forgot another bit that I wanted to read to you that I'm realizing it's interesting that this bit really speaks to me. And I think this speaks to what I love the most about the book is I feel empathy with the emotion of this guy, the drama, the melodrama. He's just so, listen to this, man. This is from the end of the first chapter, end of the second chapter, when he goes to his mom's house after the breakup. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. The chapter opens, with this wonderful image. There's a jumper and a shirt hanging on the washing line in my mum's garden that look like they're holding hands in the breeze. I stand at my bedroom window and watch their interplay change with the direction of the wind. I watch until exactly 7:03 p.m. when I pick up the phone to the woman I've loved for 3 years, 10 months and 29 days who dumped me and smashed my heart like a sinewy piñata 8 days and 22 hours ago. Aww. Listen to the last paragraph of this fucking chapter, cunt. I walk to the window and stare out at the washing line. The sleeves take turns to reach out to each other as they dance in the air. Everything is a sign since she left. Everything is another clue to help me understand what's happening. I think about our first kiss on her front doorstep. I think about our first argument and our last argument and every argument in between. I think about the first birthday presents we bought each other. I think about her top lip and the mole on her side and the way her nose seems to change shape with every angle she turns it towards. I think about the first night we spent in our flat together, lugging her across the threshold, empty rooms, Thai food, too much red wine, a drunk argument about the need for a magazine rack, a giggly fuck on the floor. I think about the first 6 months we shared a bed and how she would fall asleep on my chest with my arms around her and we would wake up in exactly the same position. I think about the shape we made in our sleep when we were comfortable, backs to each other, bums touching. I think about the first time I made her laugh and how that sound will always be the most satisfying noise in the world to me, even better than the laughter of an audience. I think about the possibility that I will never hear her laugh again, never buy her a birthday present, never guess what she wants from the takeaway menu, never hear her secrets or kiss the petals of her eyelids. I take a photo on my phone of the jumper and the shirt in case I forget what it feels like to be loved. I close the curtains and get into the bed I've been sleeping in since I was a little boy, and I cry and cry and cry and cry. Oh, man. I loved when I first read that, when I was like, I'm going to fucking love this book. The four cries. I cry and cry and cry and cry. Four. Not three. It's like four. It's like it's forever. Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. And the sentence before, the bed that I've been sleeping in since I was a little boy. And just to use the phrase little boy there, but to not say I cried like a little boy, but to put the words little boy in there. So that you have little boy in your head, so you know what the author is saying or what the protagonist is saying is I cried like a little boy, but without saying that because it's like a cliched phrase, it's bad writing. It's, oh, God. It reminds me of this moment in The Grapes of Wrath that I remember when I noticed the way Steinbeck describes the things that are happening around the action rather than the action itself. Like there's the start of some scene and he talks about like a ferret digging nearby in like a secretive way. I can't remember, something like that. And then the things that are happening are secretive, but he doesn't need to say it because he already said it about something else. And it's not even something digging nearby. It's not important at all to the action, but it was just an excuse to put the word in your head to set the scene tonally for the stuff that was about to happen, you know? It's good writing, man. Don't use cliched phrases. Figure out other ways to put the words that you want in the reader's head. Something that I thought is interesting here, this never hear her secrets or kiss the petals of her eyelids. That, petals, makes me feel uncomfortable as a man. I don't know, man. Makes me kiss the petals of her eyelids, immediately I'm like, gay, that's gay. I feel like, you know, defensive about such floral and sweet and emotional language. And I wonder if that was on purpose. I feel like that word really sticks out. I wonder if that was on purpose, or I wonder if it is a slip up by the author because the author is a woman. And you know what? If I ever meet Dolly Alderton, I'm going to accost her in a very annoying and boorish way and say, at the end of the second chapter of Good Material, you used the phrase, never kiss the petals of her eyelids. Was that on purpose? Because I'm a guy and I would never say petals because it makes me feel weird. And she's going to be like, what? Oh, who are you? Get away from me. And I'm going to be like, I fucking know you. I feel like she wrote a book at me, is how I feel about this book. Anyway, I talked about it enough last week. I fucking loved it, man. This week in the Gold Coast was so wonderful. I am like, oh, you know what the title of this week's pod is? 10 Shades Darker. Yes. I am. I'm 10 shades darker. I'm darker. I went surfing every day, man. I had developed a little routine for the Gold Coast. Lovely gigs all week, except for my solo show, which straight up sucked. It was so bad. Fuck me, man. And you know what? I've been thinking about it all fucking day because 15 people came and that's fine, whatever, you know, but I didn't fight at the start of the show. I just fucking gave up. I was just sad that only 15 people came, when what I should have done was made them all sit together and arrange them in an audience and not even plugged. I didn't need to plug the fucking keyboard in. There was 15 of them. What does a keyboard need to go in the PA for? It literally doesn't. I'm just trying to show them the music, you know? It doesn't need to be this whole thing. I should have got them, you know what I should have done? I should have got them to bring their chairs onto the stage and sat around me in a semicircle, and then I should have just shown them as if they were 15 friends of mine, and it would have been so beautiful. But instead, I was just scared and I felt ashamed that there weren't enough people there for it to be a good audience in my mind, you know? It's like 15 people's fucking heaps, man. I should have just taken charge of the situation. So, and I gotta get, I feel like that is something that I should be good at, but I feel like I'm really not. I feel like I often just, when, you know, fewer people than what I hope or expect come to a show, I just give up and I just, you know, I'm like, oh, I suck. I'm a loser. No one came to my show. Rather than like, I'm gonna make a fucking show for these people. And now that I've got the piano, I really can do that, because the piano, I can play quietly and draw them in, and then I can push them back with the stand up, and it's really interesting. So yeah, I don't know, man. A bit disappointed in myself for that show on Saturday, but the rest of the week, great shows. And I've realized something about the show, which is that it's not about me, and I'm going to change everything. On Friday, I'm going to open by playing the piano. The first thing I do, I come out, I go, hello, blah, blah, blah. And then I go, oi, fucking what do you reckon of this? And sit down and play the first four bars of the piece. And that's the start of the show. It's straight away, not stand up. It's like, listen to that. And now I'll do some stand up for a bit. And I am going to take all of the stories about the breakup, about my biological dad, about the adoption, all of it out of the show. It's not important. The show's not about me. And this is the change. This is the fucking difference. I feel like this show has to be different to anything that I've done. And especially it should be different to my last show, which was all about meeting my biological dad. And here I was for the last, you know, 9 months, 6 months or whatever, planning a show that is essentially a sequel to that show, but just with piano added to it. Fuck that, man. The show is about showing people this music. And I've kept saying what I want people to leave with is a curiosity and an inspiration to learn more about this music and listen to it more. And yet what I was planning to be the centerpiece of the show was, when I play the music, to have this message behind me from my biological, that I wrote to my biological dad. And it's just like, nah, I don't like it. So Friday night, I did a set, a half hour at Matic Brewery. And I just noticed through the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the worst parts of each set were when I stopped talking about the music and tried some clunky segue into the material that I had already written about my breakup last year and about the adoption and my dad and all this stuff. And it's just like, there's some good jokes in there, but it's just not the best material. It's, none of the stories are really complete stories. So, and just that every time I go into them, it just feels like some fucking bolted on part to the show, you know? And I've just been thinking, what does the show need to be? Or like, I want to give people an experience this with this music. And how can I give them an experience with this music? Well, I'll go back to my inspiration, and it does feel like I'm kind of stealing his idea a little bit, but fuck it. My inspiration for the show was the TED Talk by Benjamin Zander, when he asks the audience to think of something in their life that relates to how he feels the music. He's playing this Chopin prelude in C minor, I can't remember, D minor. And he says, think of someone who you miss, who is not around anymore, and then listen to this piece and you'll hear everything that Chopin has to say. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about the piece and how there's tension growing from something that you barely notice into something that you're afraid of, into something that you finally feel strong enough to tackle. And I'm going to say, if that sounds like anything in your life, I want you to think about that and then allow Chopin to take us through the emotional journey of that story with his music. Here we go. And then I'm going to play the piece, and hopefully everyone will be thinking about that thing and listening to the piece with the knowledge that I've given them. And then I'm going to close the show. So right now in the show, the half hour that I did at Matic Brewery on Friday night, that's the show. The 53 that I did on Saturday night at Hotter can get fucked. About 10 minutes of it, 15 even, sucked dick, and I'm not going to do it. Oh, and it feels good, man. I've been thinking about bits. I've been thinking about, just as soon as I let myself go, all right, I need to write a bunch more stuff, just jokes about the piano. I just thought of more stuff today. I'm so excited. Oh, man, I went surfing every day in the Gold Coast. I have a new hobby. It's official. Me and my hobby are official. I made it official with my hobby this week. I sucked his dick. I let him put it in my butt, but not all the way. Oh, fuck. Yeah, man, I was surfing all week. I feel like I learned so much. It's so nice to learn a skill that I don't know anything about, because it's really hard, one, but two, it's very gratifying because you learn so much faster when you don't know. I don't know fucking anything about surfing. So every time I went out this week, I learned something different. Like one of the days I learned that I'm not immune to sunburn. That's something I learned about surfing. I feel like I'm less scared already after a week. Like I learned how to paddle straight into waves, how to duck dive a little bit underneath waves, how to, like, you don't turn away or on the side from the wave, you know, because it'll just fucking pick you up. If you go straight into it, 9 times out of 10, you can just go mostly over the top of the wave unless it's completely broken in front of you. But just kind of have a bit of faith, you know, swim straight into the wave and just let yourself go all the way up the face and you'll be okay. I can't wait to go out. This weekend, I'm going to Esoteric Festival on Friday night and doing stand-up there on Saturday. I'm going to take the piano, by the way. And then on Sunday morning, I'm going to leave early and head down to Anglesey and hire a surfboard and a wetsuit, and I'm going to surf all fucking day. I can't wait. I'm going to surf in the morning, and then I'm going to go to a cafe, and I'm going to do some writing, and then I'm going to surf in the afternoon as well. And then I'm going to put the wetsuit back and go back to Melbourne. Yeah. And I'm just going to try and get out surfing more, man. Because I really loved it this week. I had the best fucking time. Another interesting thing today. I told you guys about the Spanish tour, I think, a couple weeks ago, that I've agreed, semi against my will, to do a tour in Spanish. And I have been practicing. I wrote out the first like 4 stories from the Great Ocean Road in Spanish. Each one took me about an hour to sit down and write in Spanish. And then anytime I didn't know a word, look that word up and then add it to a little index of words that I need to learn. Here's some words in Spanish. Naufragio means shipwreck. Acastilado means cliff. Cueva means cave. What else? Oh, corda means rope. Mantillo means hammer. Salida de emergencia is emergency exit. Oh, what's glass? Fuck, I can't remember glass. What's some of the other ones? Fiebre de oro is gold rush. Fuck your mom, dog,
fuck. I've got a bunch. No, wait, what's another one? Oh. Colonos is like colonizers, you know, or colonialists. And convictos is convicts, and soldados is soldiers. Colonos occidentales is Western colonialists. What's one of the other stories? Indigenous, indigenous. Fuck. Oh, let me do, wait. Let me do one more. Oh, selva. Selva is rainforest. Selva templada is temperate rainforest. And selva tropical is tropical rainforest. Madera is wood or timber. Casa de té, tea house. I think that's about all that I can remember. Negocio is business. And mercadería maybe is marketing. Anyway, so I've done a bunch of study. I've been working hard. I'm really proud of myself, actually. And guess what I found out today? The tour, not of the Great Ocean Road. The tour, actually, of the central Melbourne. So all of the study that I've done in the last week, completely irrelevant, useless. Good. And it's fucking next Wednesday. The good news is I still get more money for this tour, and it's only from like 9 a.m. till about 2 p.m. So it's way easier, but fuck, dude, I've got heaps of shit to learn, and I don't know when I want to learn it. Maybe on Friday. Friday's going to, it's looking like a bit of a work day because I've got the day off. So, yeah, man, I'm feeling really good, honestly, about the amount that I'm working and money shit, you know, I'm getting on top of it. I paid out all of my Edinburgh registration and my flights to Edinburgh in the last week. Took the money out of my loan, but it's all paid out. So that's good. So now for the next fucking 3-4 months, I'm just working on the show more, working as a removalist and working at tours and just stacking cash, man, and trying to save money and pay this loan down as much as I can. And, that feels like a good thing. So yeah, I don't know how much more I got to say, really. I've got work early in the morning tomorrow, so I might bin this off here unless I have any other stories. I don't think I do. I'm going to use a picture of myself doing stand-up today that I got a couple weeks ago, but I didn't use it on the pod last week. So yeah, I'll go ahead and use it today. Oi, oi, oi. And I'm not going to deep dream it. I'm just going to use it because, I don't know, I think I'm a little bit off the deep dreams for now. So that's fine. All right. 10 Shades Darker is the name of the podcast. The photo is me doing stand-up. And that's it for today. You guys are heroes in each of your respective fields. Goliaths, titans. And I respect you individually and as a unit. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Aidan Jones sitting under a tree. Peace.